So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and find Psalm 115. All right. I think that's it. So we started our service by reading this great psalm, Psalm 115. And, you know, it's something that you, I'm sure, well aware of. And I'm not going to necessarily tell you anything new today, but hopefully we can reinforce some things and give them kind of a boost so that you go, man, yeah. For example, Psalm 115 begins with, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory. Not to us. We're not the issue. You know, if our world could just get a hold of that, it would really solve a lot of people's problems. And we know that. That's one of the things with child raising. One of the things you got to do is let this kid know that the world does not revolve around him, and they think it does. And I think a lot of the problems we have today is because parents have basically said, told their little kid or their kid that, yes, it does revolve around you and anything you want. No, no, no. Who in the world do you think you are? Not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory. Because. So here's why. You know, if you got a little kid, you say, well, why should I give glory to God? Because of thy loving kindness. And because of thy truth. Or some translations translate faithfulness. Because of who you are and what you have done. Because David had had such a relationship with his God that he could say, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I'm not wanting. The Lord is making me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is leading me beside quiet waters. The Lord is restoring my soul. The Lord is guiding me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord is comforting me when I walk through the valley of deep darkness. The Lord is preparing before me a table before my enemies. The Lord has anointed my head with oil. Surely a goodness and loving kindness, therefore, and my cup overflows. So surely, therefore, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For if you were to ask David, why it is written, not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory, he would say, because he's my shepherd. And look what he has done, is doing, and will do for me. Surely, therefore, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, does that not give glory? The shepherd did that. I didn't do that. I one of the things I like doing, and in fact, it's marked in some places in this Bible, but as you do your reading, pay attention to how many things God does. And it's very common in the scriptures to say, he did this, and he did that, and he did the other thing. You know, for example, even here, you know, I think it says... Or maybe it's not this one. But that's what I get for faking it here. Let me try Psalm 79. There's one of these I was reading this week where I was just thinking, yeah, he. Well, for example, Psalm 29, we did this last week. You know, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, this is verse 5. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the Lebanon, makes Lebanon skip like a calf and churn like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. It's the voice of the Lord that shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, etc. And you just go through here, and this is what God does. So we ascribe to him glory because he deserves it. Now, as we think about the Lord's shepherd, and that's why I entitled this Psalm 23 an epilogue. As we come to the communion service over there, we understand why David wrote, right? That's what God did for him. And specifically because of that relationship he had with Jehovah God as his shepherd. David was his sheep, and Jehovah God was his shepherd, and that's why God made him lie down in green pastures. That's why he led him beside quiet waters. He restored his soul. He led him in the paths of righteousness for his name, Jehovah's sake. That is why he comforted him while he was going through the valley of deep darkness. That is why God did all of that, because David was his sheep. And God cares for his sheep. So as I was thinking about this and then coming to communion, the question I asked, well, how did that happen? How did David become a sheep of God's? Because he wasn't always. We weren't born sheep of God's. We were born sheep, but not of God's. So how does that happen? And the more I thought about that, the more I realized that when you begin to understand a little more, I don't know if we ever fully understand it, how that happens, we are ascribing to God glory due his name, because it is marvelous. So as we come to the communion service, we're going to look at one chapter and then one book that will explain how this all happens. All right? And then we'll come and partake together. Shepherd and a sheep. How did we become the Lord's sheep? And how did he become our shepherd? Let's go and take a look at one chapter. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, where Jesus addresses himself as the good shepherd. It's no accident that John chapter 10 follows John chapter 9. Because in John chapter 9, Jesus heals the blind man, remember, on the Sabbath day. And because it was the Sabbath day, the Pharisees had all these weird rules that they were trying to be righteous. They invented rules that they thought they could keep so they could be righteous, even though they were violating the law of God. And so they got all upset with him because he healed this guy on the Sabbath. And so there's a great discussion. We went through this. Kevin led us through this on Wednesday night between Jesus and the Pharisees and basically the blind man. But then on the heels of that, Jesus follows it up with John chapter 10. And what he says in John chapter 10, verse 1, is truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. I think the imagery is of a big pen, if you think about it that way, where there are lots of sheep, where lots of shepherds would house their sheep in this kind of communal place. And so there's a doorkeeper, and the doorkeeper's only going to let in the shepherds of the sheep. And that is why he says those who climb over the wall some other way are not shepherds at all. They're not interested about the sheep, but they are thieves and robbers. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Yes, I'm entering the door because my sheep are in there. And verse 3, to him, the shepherd that comes through the doorkeeper opens because, yeah, I recognize you. Those are your sheep over there in the corner. Come on in. And then Jesus says, his voice, he opens the door and the sheep hear his voice. I've read about this, that evidently sheep can recognize the voice of their shepherd. Remember, we had noted a little further back that Philip Keller, who was a shepherd, and wrote about the shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, said that nothing so quieted my sheep, because they are very fidgety, they're very anxious, but the sight of me, their shepherd. They know who their shepherd is, and they know his voice. And so Jesus says, they hear his voice. Verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. Oh my goodness, God knows. Jesus is saying, I know my sheep by name. If you're a child of God this morning, if you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he knows you by name. Now that's just a marvelous thought. You just think about that next time you're on the road or in a lot of traffic and realize God knows all of these people. He knows where they're going. He knows where they've been. He knows what they're doing. He knows what they're going to do. He knows what they're planning to do. And he knows everyone that's in here that is his sheep. And he has a special purpose for them. God knows them by name. And he says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Because they recognize, you're my shepherd. And they follow him. Jesus goes on to say, when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, verse 4. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. You're my shepherd. A stranger, verse 5, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And so here Jesus is saying, you know, I'm that door. Then he kind of changes metaphors, because then he says, well, verse 7, he says, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Jesus, I'm the true shepherd. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. It's part of what the shepherd does. Provides for them in the presence of their enemies an abundant meal. Going to find pasture. The thief, verse 10, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And by that, I believe he's referring to his own religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees of chapter 9. He's calling them thieves. You don't care about the sheep. Not at all. You only want to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Remember, overflowing, that you can't put enough descriptive words to that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We'll see why that's important a little bit later. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd is not the owner of the sheep. Beholds a wolf coming and leaves the sheep, flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and not concerned about the shepherd. Rather, the sheep, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm laying down my life for my sheep. I know who they are. The Father knows who they are. And that's why I'm so concerned about them. And I will lay down my life for those sheep. And in fact, we're going to the communion service where that's exactly what he did. I don't know about you, but why would you ever get the woe is me? Well, I know why you get the woe is me's. Because there's a lot of things to get the woes of me about in life. But you know, when you realize how much God loves you and what he has done for you, it's just a marvelous thought. He knows my name. And he died for me. He died for me. And then there's a discussion about the Jews say, skip to verse 22. Well, verse 24, the Jews therefore gathered around him, and I think by reference to the Jews, it's the scribes and the Pharisees specifically, his own pastors. And they gather around him, verse 24, and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. All right, and he's been ministering for a while. They said, just come out with it. Jesus answered, verse 25, I told you, and you do not believe. I've already told you who I am. Just go back to chapter 5 of John. I mean, he's made it very clear. He says, I've told you who I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. But you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. Now, here it comes, verse 26. Here's the reason you're not believing. But you do not believe because. I mean, how clear can God make it? You're not believing because you are not my sheep. Wow. The book we're going to look at is going to help explain that. You are not my sheep. However, on the other hand, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, they believe because they're my sheep. That's what they do. And as they follow me, I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And because he said that, they took up stones again to kill him, because being a man, he made himself out to be God. Is exactly who he was. The point is this. When it comes to shepherd and a sheep, Jesus knows his sheep by name. And every one of his sheep eventually will hear his voice and will follow him. Now there's a lot of sheep in this world that are his sheep that are still unconverted. All right? But somewhere along the line, if they are God's sheep, somewhere they will hear his voice and follow. I think it's very comforting, and I believe it's very true. We don't have time to do it, but if you were to read John 6 especially, you will figure out, and I think it's very clearly stated, that everyone who is supposed to be in heaven will be there. I mean, that to me, that's a great assurance. The sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Okay, well, that answers some of the questions, but not all of them. How did you become, how does he know your sheep's name and not other sheep's name? And how is the scribes and the Pharisees not his sheep? How does all that work? And when did all that happen? So we're answering the question. So let's go now to the book quickly, and it's a great book. It's the book of Ephesians. And I believe Paul, probably in no other book of the Bible, just lays this out, and it's very clear what God has done. That's why we sang, "This is Amazing Grace." That is why we sang Amazing Grace. That is why we sang all the songs we sung, because it all points to God and what he has done. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father." Now just watch how this goes. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." How do you do that? "Just as he," God, "chose us," and you could put in here, we're talking about his sheep. "Just as God chose us, his sheep, in him," Christ the shepherd. When did God do that? Before the foundation of the world. Staggering thought. Next time you're just bored and want something to think about, you're on your deck, back deck, front deck, side deck, up deck, down, whatever deck it's on, you got your cup of coffee, and you're thinking, I need to think about something. Think about this. If you're one of God's sheep, he chose you by name before he made the world. Before Genesis 1:1, God chose his sheep. Now, he didn't choose everybody, and the question is why, and we don't know. But what we do know is that those whom he chose to be his sheep, to be, as it says in verse 4, holy and blameless before him. Because as natural born sheep, we are not. We'll see that in chapter 2. "By nature, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. By nature, we are following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Where by nature, we're living in the lust of our flesh and indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." That's who we are by nature. "By nature, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, Paul tells us that when Adam sinned, we all sinned in Adam. So death came to Adam, and therefore death came to all men. We are born dead, spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had violated God, and we were rebelling against him. But what God did before the foundation of the world, and here's another thought. Before Adam and Eve sinned, he chose some to be his sheep that he would have to redeem. You say, how does that happen? I don't know, but that's why he's God. And I am not, and you are not. We take it by faith. The faith, the just shall live by faith. Okay, it's what the Bible says. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. Now watch how this goes. Into verse 4. In love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We got it. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, to through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Predestined, he marked out beforehand. He decided before the foundation of the world that you would be a joint heir with his son. He would adopt you as his son. You would be his sheep. And again, why didn't he do that for everybody? Nobody knows. Somehow it all works. It all works. But for us, we recognize this is what he did for me. Why did he do that? According to the kind intention of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That's where we started. To God is to be the glory. We are to ascribe to him what he has done. Among other things is that before the foundation of the world, he chose me to be one of his sheep, to be a son, and then he sent Jesus to die for me. Notice what happens in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. That would be Christ, because it's his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And he lavished that upon us in wisdom and insight and made known to us the mystery of his will. The will that he's summing everything up in Christ, verse 10. And God works all things, verse 11, after the counsel of his will. Verse 12, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of his glory. Marvelous. This is... And for me, this just answers a ton of questions. Then I love verse 17. Paul says that Paul is praying here, and he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now watch. I mean, that's a great prayer to pray. He says, oh, Father, I'm gonna get here on board with Paul. Father, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I want to know more about you. Because when I do, I can give more glory to you because of your loving kindness and because of your truth. The more I know, the more I say, wow, Lord, here I am. And then you get to chapter 2. So this is what God is doing. And we read it, but... The thing is, he chose us to be a sheep, and we were not his sheep. We were the devil's sheep. Right? Notice verse 2, you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. There's only two shepherds in the universe, Christ and Satan. And everybody's born in Satan's fold, but God has chosen some of his fold to save, and he sent Jesus to die for those, and he calls them out. Watch this. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Let me ask you a question. Do dead people think? Can dead people reason? Can dead people understand? Can dead people respond to anything? No. So none of us woke up one day and said, I think I'll join this shepherd. I think I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't happen. Paul says, Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who seek after God. We may be seeking for something, but it's not God. So we're dead. But watch what God did. This is marvelous. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, when we were dead in our transgressions, here it comes, verse 5, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And theologians would call this, I think, regeneration. In other words, for you to come to Christ, for you to be able to hear his voice, for you to be able to believe and follow him, God has to do something to you so that you can hear, understand, and respond. Otherwise, you're a dead nail. You're a dead sheep. You can't get it. But God comes and it's somewhere in your life. God will speak to you and say, you're my sheep. You're my sheep. And that conviction of sin, realizing God is holy, realizing there even is a God, for some people it's kind of like a pow, and I got it. Other people, it's a long process. But God is faithful. He knows how to do it. And that is why the Hebrew says, Hebrews 3, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you hear Jesus speaking to you, that's huge. That's huge. So he wakes us up, rises us up, together with Christ. Anyway, we know verses 8 and 9 and 10, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith. He gives you the faith even. Yes, you have to exercise it. You have to walk in it. But he gives it to you. Otherwise, you would never want to do that. For by grace we've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of his result of works, that no one should boast. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, prepared for good works. We are his workmanship in Christ, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. Again, it's fascinating. Beforehand. Beforehand, one. I didn't go back to verse 4 of chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you. He called you out. He predestined you to be a son. He predestined you to be a sheep. And the Lord was going to be your shepherd. And he gave you a certain job to do. Not everybody is created equal in that sense. And we just need to follow. We just need to follow. I think about that and I think, wow, wow. So then the next question is, okay, God did all that for me. What does he want me to do? Well, Jesus clearly said, my sheep hear my voice. I call them, they hear me, and they follow me. So he wants us to follow. But Paul spends the last half of his book telling you what that looks like. We'll go through this quickly. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Hey, God chose you to be his sheep. You didn't do that. Jesus died for you. And we're going to do that. He was died according to the scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scripture. He's done all of this for you. He woke you up. He gave you the Holy Spirit. That's at the end of chapter 1. And so he's done all this for you, and he wants you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. In other words, follow the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. With all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. And then he goes on and just goes on and on. And I'll give you, and I think you probably have read the rest of the book of Ephesians. You know, we're to put aside the way we used to walk, verses 17 and following. We're to be angry, verse 26, and yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. He was your shepherd. Now Jesus is your shepherd. Come on. You know, he goes down, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, verse 29. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, verse 30. Verse 32, forgive as Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children. Follow your shepherd. You want to be like your shepherd. Walk in love. You got to leave immorality behind. You don't walk as the world walk. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light. See, all of Satan's sheep, and Satan is walking in the darkness, and he's deceiving them. He's leading down a path that they think is going to get them to heaven, and it's taking them to hell. So you know that. Don't walk that way. And he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit and submit to one another. Giving thanks, and thinking about all that God has done. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, it goes on. Children, be respectful to your parents. Parents, be respectful to your kids. Employers, be respectable to your employees, and employees to employers. And because we are in this battle with this other shepherd that's just causes all kinds of havoc, we put on the armor of God, because our battle is against, as he says, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against, chapter 6, verse 12, it's against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces. So that's a little bit about how we got to be his sheep. God chose us. He put us in the fold. He's given us everything we need to follow him, and he wants us to follow him. There is a way he wants us to live. Even though he enables us to do it, this is the beautiful thing about the scriptures, is God does all that, and he tells you, now this is what you do. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to wake you up, but you have to believe. You have to follow. You have to put to death. You have to do this. You have to do that. You forgive and all of that. This is what we do. But he also knows that even as redeemed sheep, Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. And yes, as we were born, we were astray, estranged from God. And even when we come to Him, you know, sin has been cared for, but it's still there. So from time to time, we tend to forget who our shepherd is. And we start following this other guy because, oh, that's exciting. Look what they're doing. And God is saying, no, 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 no. Look at me. You have forgotten who your shepherd is. And so to help us remember who our shepherd is, He gave us the communion service. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, I received from the Lord that which I received, but that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, obviously, He was saying, this represents my body. This is for you to remember this. They had just done the Passover meal, which was designed to remember that. Remember coming out of Egypt? Now He's saying, I want you to remember that I'm going to deliver you from sin. And that's how you become my sheep. And in the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And then He says, therefore, whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body, his body rightly. And for this reason, many among you are weak, sick, and a number sleep or have died. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. You see, we're going to see that in 1 John. God is very patient, but there's a line somewhere, and we don't know where it is. Paul is saying, Jesus is saying, don't get to the line. You know, part of the thing of the communion service, we are to remember. We are to remember what Jesus did for us. We are to remember who we are. You know, as 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Hey, what did He do for you? Man, before the foundation of the world, He chose me, He predestined me, marked it out that this is what would happen. He called me throughout time. He enlightened my heart. He gave me the faith to believe. He enabled me to believe, gave me the Holy Spirit. He did all of that for me. I'm not my own. This is, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And I think primary way we do that is by following our shepherd. Father, to say that you are a good shepherd is a statement that really isn't even strong enough, because you're beyond good. You really are beyond good. But we can understand that some of what you've done for us. Then, boy, talk about a thought that before the foundation of the world, you chose us to be your sheep. That's how it happens. And throughout time, you called us, you woke us up, and then you gave us the faith. We had to believe. Yes, we did. We had to take that step. Yes, we did. But behind it all was you. So, Father, as we come to partake of this supper that the Lord gave us to remember Him, may we remember His body broken for us, His blood shed for us, the forgiveness of sins. He said the blood of the new covenant. May we remember He's our shepherd. And He did all that. Help us follow. So Lord, help us examine ourselves. Help us examine ourselves to see that we are in the faith, that we have heard His voice and we have followed Him. And then we have to ask, how am I doing lately? Have I wandered away from my shepherd? Am I following the other shepherd that he saved me from? Or am I following you, the good shepherd? Help us, Lord. We want to follow you. We want to follow you. And then as we hit those bumps in the road and we sin, and Satan says, aha, see, how in the world do you think you're a Christian? And whose sheep are you? And where do you think you're going when you die? We need to remember this hymn. We need to remember what Jesus did for us. Think about that, and then we'll partake of the communion service.
Because
He went to that cross and he offered himself a sacrifice for our sin. So Lord, as we hold this cracker in our hand, we pray that we might remember what you did for us. And as we stray, and as we've gotten our feet dirty, we just pray that you will come and restore our souls. Get us back on the right track and help us follow. But we thank you that you put your body on a cross instead of ours. Let's partake together in remembrance of him. And again, you know, Scripture is very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Part of that shows us how serious it is. This is no small deal. It takes life. Life. God demands a life. So Jesus offered his life, shed his blood, blood of the new covenant, ushers in the new covenant, gives us forgiveness of sins, calls us as his sheep, takes care of us as their sheep, all because of this. So, Father, we thank you. Let's partake together as we remember his blood shed for us.